Welcome to Women Who Sarcast. I'm Kathy Barron.
And I'm Corey Ascension.
And this is Cut to the Chase.
Oh.
Do you ever find yourself like in the zone?
I do. Yes. It's been hard lately, but yeah.
Not the auto zone.
No. No, because I go to O'Reilly. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I find that when I do like editing, like video editing or even like writing, when I do it, you definitely get in that flow. Mm-hmm. Like, do you have to have, I guess, let me start with a definition first before we go into our own experiences. In the zone or flow is total absorption in an activity, a feeling of energized focus, concentrated involvement, and loss of a sense of time. Mm. I definitely get that loss of time because I'll be editing something and like 3 hours will go by. Or when I'm working on the magazine, it's like I'll be doing stuff and 3 hours goes by. So for me, it's more of a creative flow.
Yeah, no, I do. I'm a little, well, I think I'm weird. And maybe that's just because I don't talk to anybody else about it. But I have very specific conditions to like get into the flow. And then once I'm there, nothing else that's going on around me matters. But prior to that, everything matters. Like literally everything. And, you know, so that's my experience. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think it, like I said, depends on if I'm, if I'm doing like the magazine, I definitely have music on that's like instrumental, like ambient stuff. It normally can't be like people singing. It's more of an ambient music instrumental. But of course, if I'm video editing, if there's audio with the video, then obviously I'm focused on the video itself.
Right.
But yeah, it's like the stars have to be aligned and, you know, the, there can't be any distractions or noises other than, you know, the music or what I'm working on.
Yeah. And see, and that's very similar for me at the onset. So it's actually irritating. I'm irritating because there are times where I'm like, okay, today I need to, whether it be create content or whatever, do some videos, reels, whatever it is. And I'm like, okay, I need everybody to be quiet. I need, you know, that also my house looks, needs to be clean because sometimes I don't want the real, you know, the background of the reels. I don't know what the hell's going on in the background. I want it to be clean. And if it, if all of these things aren't aligned, I totally lose all focus. I will lose all focus. It's a little bit ridiculous, but once I get into that point, you can't even, I can't hear anything. Like I can't hear anything. I don't want to be talked to either. So there's that, but my household is a bit of an issue with, well, one, there's a lot of us. And I don't care. I think even if I had like a 50,000 square foot house, they'd still be loud.
They'd still be sitting next to you, right?
Well, yeah. They follow me. Mom, mom, you know, they're old. They're still following me, looking around for me. And if I put headphones on, now normally I don't put big ones. It's usually earbuds when I'm working. I guess don't see them. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. We'll pretend for a moment that they can't see them. Okay. And I don't have the ones that stay in. They have the, they dangle, you know, the, they're the Apple ones. So they don't dangle, whatever. They stick out. There's a little sticky part. They completely ignore those. They'll be like, mom, they'll stand right in front of me and, you know, asking questions, texting me. Why aren't you, what are you doing? FaceTime calling me. So I'll get, so that those distractions are, I mean, and it's like a second. That's it. I'll lose it. So for me, it is way better to have none of those distractions. So honestly, where I get the most creative, have the best conversations with myself, ideas, all that, is in the car or in the shower, where I am bugged the least.
Yeah. Well, the term flow was coined in 1975 by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, a psychologist and creativity expert who interviewed many artists that described losing track of time when they were doing their work. It is kind of like a euphoric kind of euphoria feeling when you're in the flow. And there's like a complete involvement in the task, which is kind of what we talked about. Total focus, total concentration. You like the sense of being outside of reality, greater inner clarity and strong sense of knowing what needs to be done. I think that if you're like, if you go in with a definitive goal of, okay, this is what I want to get accomplished, or have some sense of what you want to do, then that's where you can have like laser focus on doing what you want to get done. But you also have the skill and knowledge to do it. Because if you don't have the skill or the knowledge to the point where you can accomplish your goal, you're going to get bored, or you're going to get overwhelmed and frustrated. So that isn't, that's not part of the equation as far as like getting in the flow. And there's like a serenity to it, like an experience that's beyond your ego. Like you're just in it, and no matter what comes out, whether you're writing or editing, whatever, it's like you're beyond the ego. Like you don't care. You're just getting it done. And then time becomes meaningless. You know, we've kind of both experienced that. And that you're just so laser focused on what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's funny is lately, actually, I've really struggled with creative flow. But seeing, here's one of my things. It's like I lose all desire or ability. That's what I think. To be laser focused and creative. And even like the desire to even get there in the fall and winter. Seasons really, the colder seasons super affect me. And I wouldn't say it's necessarily like a depression, but it's just like, I don't want to do nothing. Mm-hmm. I want to stay in my jammies, and I want to be cozy and warm, and I don't want anyone to talk to me. I don't want to cook. And again, I don't really think it's, I know some of those things sounds like depression, but it's, I don't know, maybe it is seasonal. What do they call it? Sad seasonal depression.
Affective disorder.
I don't know what it's called. Yeah. Affective disorder. Yeah. And it, you know, it very well may be, but for me, once it's like today, it's sunny. First time we've had a nice sunny day. And I think yesterday there was a little bit in a while. And for me, it's instant. When I see it like that, when I wake up in the morning, I want to get out of bed. I want to go over to my computer, or I want to go outside and garden, whatever it may be. Whereas when it's colder and yucky out, and to me, yucky is raining. Mm-hmm. It's, for some people, that's not yucky. It's yucky to me. It's hard for me to build up that desire to even do it. So there are things that I need to do to kind of get me there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even sometimes I remember growing up, I'd be sitting on the couch watching TV and I would zone out. Like I couldn't hear anything around me. My mom or dad would be like yelling my name and I wouldn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the same thing. Like when you're engrossed in a program or documentary, a movie, whatever, it's like, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, you don't necessarily have to be doing something to be productive.
Right. That makes me think of reading. I haven't had a lot of opportunity to read a lot, you know, consistently lately, but when I'm reading, that loss of time, that feeling of being somewhere else. I mean, I will literally feel like I am in, especially if you're talking about something that's fiction, or like true crime. I'm really into that kind of stuff. You really feel like you're in there and you're part of it. It's like you can almost smell what's happening. That I really get lost in that type of stuff as well. You feel like you're part of it. And then when you step away, it's like a weird feeling. It's like you stepped out into another realm, right? And you're like, why can't I go back there? Or if the book ends, you're like, oh, that sucks. Now I got to find something else. Is it going to be the same? You know, right. That feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it is kind of like almost coming out of a dream in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, you have those dreams that are like so real to you, and you wake up, whether like in a fog or just like discombobulated, and you're like, what just happened? And it's like, it carries within you throughout the day, and you can't Absolutely. Shake that feeling. And so sometimes coming out of that zone is like reentry, you know, it's like reentering reality.
It almost feels like when you come out of it, it feels mildly like a hangover sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just a little bit foggy. Maybe my body's a little bit worn down. You know, I need to get up and, you know, go do something else to kind of revitalize myself for this realm that I'm in now, you know, because it feels very different. It feels mm-hmm. like I've gone from one place to another. Like literally like every part of me has gone from one place to another.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's also exhilarating in a way too, especially yeah. if you're working on a project or something. It's like you feel so accomplished, you know, after that fact, after that experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. yeah.
And it's almost like you want more of it.
Right. And that's the thing that sometimes it's hard because you, for me at least, is you want to replicate it. And it's not always, it doesn't work like that, mm-hmm. you know? And that's why, and part of this, that I think for me, the reason why I struggle with it sometimes, I think has, I don't want to say I have ADHD because I have never been diagnosed. You know, as a kid, they didn't have that. It was called other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that I definitely have a lot of characteristics of someone who does have that. And so, focus can be very difficult for me, staying on topic. I am, you know, everything is squirrel, 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 squirrel. I am easily distracted. And, you know, even like when I'm working, if I'm creating content online, I'll get started and then I see something out of the corner of my eye and I'm like, ooh, you know, and I'm over here doing that. Ooh, and I'm over here doing, and I'll spend 12 hours doing that. But then I'll be like, oh shit, I was supposed to do this one thing and I did 33 other things. Ah, ha, ha. You know, that's part of my struggle sometimes with creative flow is that I will bounce all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have to work on zoning in. So then at the beginning, we were talking about specifics of environment. That's really important because my environment can distract me if I am really not honed in already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to like when you're cleaning the house. It's mm-hmm. like you move yeah. one thing to like from the living room to the bathroom. And then you're like, oh, the bathroom needs to be cleaned. So you start cleaning the bathroom. And then you see something, oh, this needs to go into the kitchen. And so you go into the kitchen and start cleaning the kitchen. So, you know, that's kind of how I equate.
Absolutely. I think too, I don't know. And my belief is it tends to be more common in women than men, but this multitasking. And I wish there was a better word than multi, because I feel like multi makes it sound small, because there are times where I have got, you know, I've got my hands in four or five things at one time, you know, run here. Like you said, when you're cleaning house, I might be, oh, I got to clean this up. While I clean this up, I'm going to make sure I throw that into the oven because I'm cooking dinner. While that is in the oven, I'm going to run to the garage. I'm going to go ahead and throw that load of laundry. And then I'm going to come back, finish cleaning up this over here. Oh, you know what? Next week I have to go and, you know, meet somebody for coffee. Before I do that, I should probably make sure that jacket is clean. You know, so there's 50 million things all. Now, the thing is I am flowing right through that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am getting shit done. Sometimes I don't know if I should be so proud of that, but you know, I am, and don't stop me. Also, I don't want anybody to talk to me right now. I might mm-hmm. throw in my headphones. I might put on like a podcast or music in the background. No, I don't want your help because most likely you're going to do it wrong. or don't ask me, how can you help? Because if you don't already know, I don't really have time to explain it. So,
right.
But so, you know, that there's, in a sense, there's a flow for me to that. Cause that was my morning. This morning was, I had several things. I was, you know, some of it I probably took on that I shouldn't have, as far as deciding to make a 5-hour slow roast lamb anyhow. And it, you know, I ended up adding some things to my day, but I was like, okay, I can drop this kid off, go run over here, grab this, make sure I go over here and get this. When I get back, I'm going to run into the kitchen. I'm going to run into this. I'm going to run back upstairs, set up my computer for the podcast. I'm going to run back downstairs. Oh, by the way, go pee in there at some point. You know, but I got it done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think that would be in the flow as well.
Yeah.
Because you are focused, you are concentrating, and you got a lot of shit done.
Yeah.
So,
Again,
I
I
mean,
don't
if
know if
that's your
that I
ultimate
should be.
goal, then I think multitasking is for me is like doing, like if you're at a on a meeting or in a meeting, things are still virtual for the most part, and then you're like answering emails, and to me that's more multitasking than what you just explained, because you aren't paying attention to what you're supposed to be paying attention. You're doing, two other things. But there's researchers have created three conditions that are quote unquote necessary for someone to experience flow or be in the zone. And I mean, when they start creating conditions on how to experience something, I'm not really for that because it's going to happen organically for that person.
Feel like it throws off the whole idea of being creative if there's rules. Feel like creative is ruleless.
Exactly,
Is that a word?
exactly.
Lawless.
Lawless. We don't need no stinking
Yeah.
laws. But here they are, the three conditions. One is clearly defined goals, actively and wholeheartedly performing a task. Two, clear and immediate feedback. So there's evidence that you are accomplishing those defined goals. And three, abilities match challenge. So the task must be hard enough to feel challenging and easy enough to be completed.
You know what's interesting, like they don't toss in there, is imposter syndrome. I just think sometimes when you're in, you're working on something, yeah, you have a goal. It's meeting all those rules that you just laid out right there. But the frequency with which I think many people, when they're in that creative flow, may come up against imposter syndrome. Oh, you know what? I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Like you talked earlier about knowledge. Maybe I don't know as much as I think I know about this. Okay, why am I qualified to do this now? And so there are times I think while we're in that flow, we also have to battle with whether it be imposter syndrome or second guessing ourselves, and navigating that as you're in the flow is interesting to me, because you could have all these things lined up. But then there's always, I think it's very common to feel that as you're working through that. This is going to look better this way. And then you over, what's the word? You kind of like over process it to the point of, now am I getting anything done, or am I just here for 6 hours over processing, over processing?
Yeah, I think that definitely could come into play before you get into the zone. But I feel that when you're in the zone, there's no ego, and the ego is usually the one that feels it's an imposter.
That's true.
So I feel that if you're already in the zone or you're kind of like on the edge. But I think for me, perfectionism kind of comes in. And I'm actually reading a book about how perfectionism is a superpower, and it's not negative, it's not derogatory, and it's a great book. But for me, as far as being creative, sometimes it's doing it right. It's doing it the right way the first time. And so that's why when I experience the flow, it's not very often because of the ego and, like you said, imposter syndrome and wanting it to be perfect. But it does happen, and it's amazing. It's a new drug.
Absolutely. I like that you share that about perfectionism. That's something I struggle with. I was just telling someone the other day, I'm a perfectionist, like I'm in rehab, because
Recovering, yeah.
I'm a recovering perfectionist, which I might be until like the day I'm dead. The problem with me and perfectionism, though, is like I was saying, that's part of the imposter syndrome. I will overthink, over study, over research, and now I have all this information, so much so that maybe it's too much, that it's like all over the place, and I'll never get the thing done. It just won't happen because I have, perfectionismed myself into a tizzy that now I'm overwhelmed, and I freeze. When I get super overwhelmed, I freeze. Everything freezes up for me.
Yeah, I totally understand that. You need to read this book because it goes through different types of perfectionists. There isn't just one. There's like the intense, perfectionist, classic. And it's basically saying that a perfectionist is, perfectionism is part of who you are. And it's not to look down on, because perfectionists are just people that strive to do things or accomplish things. So it's a pretty well-written book so far.
I'd be interested. I know, I think that my perfectionism actually can be, like you said, a superpower. There are times where I know, with regards to some things, where I'm like, had I not overthought the shit out of that, this would not have gone well, you know, whatever it may be. But I also know that some of my perfectionism is rooted in, you know, just my, you know, growing up and the era that we grew up in and the family and friends and community that I grew up in. It's kind of, everything had to be perfect or you felt like you weren't worthy. And so that's, and everyone's going to hate me and, you know, how could I possibly do this and that, you know, it was, there's some of that is rooted in there, but I also know that, the way I operate, because I do analyze the shit out of everything, that there have been many times where had I not done that, things would have, that, you know, whatever it was about would have not gone well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I know that some of it's of great value. Because I'm kind of great. No, I'm
just you are. You're awesome, Corey. Why do you think I have you on my podcast? Only awesome people apply, right? So the book's called The Perfectionist's Guide to Losing Control, A Path to Peace and Power by Catherine Morgan Schaeffler.
Okay.
The book is well written in that it's not patronizing. It's not, you know, condescending. Mm-hmm. It's basically lifting you up as a perfectionist. And we all have the different types of perfectionism.
Right.
In us. You know, some are more prominent than others. But
yeah,
I think with any creative, perfectionism and imposter syndrome is always lurking, you know. Mm-hmm. But to get into that flow, you know, you need to set the... You need to have the environment where you feel safe and you feel valid and you have permission, you know, to do and be whatever you need in that moment, you know, to get into that
flow. I think too, as you're talking about this too, what I think a lot about is when you're especially talking about creative flow and perfectionism and whatever word you want to use there, looking at the things that we're creating as perfect for us. I think that is a big difference when we're creating and we run into this struggle with the flow of maybe it's imposter syndrome or whatever, taking a pause and trying to recognize is the reason that we're struggling because we're trying to make it perfect for us or perfect for somebody else. And I think even in the type of work that I do, while yes, I am working for other, I'm working to help other people, the things that I create are for other people. At the same time, they need to resonate with me. It needs to be true to me. It needs to come from with me, whether it be my experience or my understanding. And when you start to step away from that, that is really when a flow is going to be, you know, caught off, you know, you're going to be caught off guard within your flow. And I think it's important within that to take a pause and say, okay, who's this perfectionism for? You know, why am I doing this? And what is it that I want to come across? Is it somebody else's story, but it sounds good, so for everybody else? Or is this from me? You know, this mm-hmm. is my understanding. This is my experience, whatever it may be. This is my art, whatever it is. Yeah. Not to please the masses, basically.
Well, I'm interested to hear if any of the listeners experience the flow and how they get there and what they experience. So let us know. We're on Instagram at Women Who Sarcast, and slide into our DMs and let us know what's going on.
Said that really sexy.
I did that just for you, Corey.
Thanks.
Well, thanks, Corey. This was a great conversation.
Thank you.
As usual. And I appreciate talking with you and being on the podcast.
Yes, love it. I've enjoyed myself.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll see you next time on Women Who Sarcast.
Bye.
Toodles. Thank you for listening to Women Who Sarcast, an independent podcast. Email us at womenwhosarcast@yahoo.com and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Women Who Sarcast. Get your copy of Women Who Podcast magazine today. Visit womenwhopodcastmag.com to subscribe. Show music provided by Mike Imbasciani.